Welcome to the Campbell Conversations. Last week on the program, you heard a voice in favor of the final report of the Commission on Local Government Modernization from Center State CEO Rob Simpson. The report recommended a variety of changes in the governmental structures in the Syracuse area, chief among them a suggestion to form a single metropolitan form of government that would encompass both Onondaga County and the city of Syracuse. Joining me today are two individuals who live and work in different parts of the Syracuse region and who have some concerns about the report's recommendations. Rob Bick is the assessor for the town of Clay and appeared on the program about a year ago to discuss the commission's preliminary report. Howie Hawkins is a local leader of the Green Party and has run for several public offices under its banner. He's written on the consensus report and is a likely mayoral candidate this fall. Howie, Rob, welcome to the program.
Nice to be here.
Well, let me start, and Howie, I'll start with you. The report contains 50 recommendations, but the biggest one, obviously, is for the establishment of this new metropolitan form of government that would include both the city and the county and any of the towns and municipalities in the county that wanted to join in. This new government would have an elected executive and 33 elected legislators. So what's your view of that particular recommendation?
We like the consensus report in a lot of respects. A lot of good ideas about consolidating government functions, the tax sharing plan, which reduces intermunicipal competition and can lead to a land use plan, which would be good for stopping sprawl and having smarter development. But we're for metro government, but not this model. This model to us would create domination by the two-thirds suburban and rural majority over the city. The city's reduced to a tax district to pay for its debts and its schools. But to get to the government, you got to go to the county. We lose control over our local zoning and planning. So we want a federated model. Our perspective is people in the towns like going to town hall to deal with potable issues. They don't want to have to go downtown to the county government. We need that in the city as well. And then the problem with the whole government is that it's a winner-take-all electoral system, which means the plurality that gets the most vote dominates in each district and countywide. We want a proportional system where everybody is represented in their own district by somebody that they can speak to that represents their views.
So in a proportional system, obviously you're going to get then a more favorable environment for parties other than the two main parties. And so I could see why the Green Party would want something like that right off the bat.
Well, as well as Democrats in a rural or suburban Republican mm-hmm. district, they would have a representative they voted for. And a Republican in the city would have a representative they voted for. Under the winner-take-all by district system, if you're in a minority in that district, you don't have a representative.
So one attraction of this change that Rob Simpson argued for last week was that if all of the towns opted in, what this would establish would be the second largest municipality in the state. And I believe this number was what he quoted, the 38th largest municipality in the country. And that the idea was that this could help the influence of this area in Albany and also in Washington, D.C., and I think, you know, by extension, it could also raise our general profile across the country, sort of like a branding exercise for Syracuse, if you would. So, Rob, do you see any attraction in that holding? I know you have other concerns about this report, but do you see any attraction in that kind of argument being put forward?
Well, I think you can break this down very simply. Is large government better? Is large government more efficient? Because what we're proposing is larger government by the numbers you just quoted. And I think we need to look no further than New York State to recognize that large government does not function better. One example would be the Star Check boondoggle that is plaguing New York State at the moment, a program that was ill-advised and a program that just can't seem to be completed efficiently. Another example might be the pay-to-play economic development and the scandals that go along with it that literally lead right to the governor's office doorstep. You have no transparency here. And so the notion that bigger government's better, I can't determine where that came from. So in this case, I don't see that bigger government is better.
You're not buying that.
Not buying it at all.
Howie, does that argument resonate with you at all, this idea that we're going to create something that's going to put us on the map politically, more importantly than we were before?
Yeah, it helps a little bit, but it's not a magic bullet. And as far as big government versus small government, I think people want good government. And there's some things you want local, and there's some things that can be done better on a countywide or metro-wide or statewide or federal level. And the trick is to figure out which goes where. Take the land use planning. You know, a county land use plan, we have a county settlements plan written up by Andres Duaney, the new urbanist, but it can't be enforced at the county level because all the planning is done at the town level. What this consensus proposal suggests is we have a county land use plan that's enforceable, but then the detailed planning and zoning is done by each town, and we would advocate each neighborhood in the city for final, you know, determination of what goes on in those areas that are going to be developed. And there are good reasons in terms of efficient use of infrastructure and protection of the environment for having a county land use plan. So that's a case where you want one thing at the metro level and another thing at the local level.
I'm Grant Reher, and I'm speaking with Green Party activist Howie Hawkins and Clay assessor Rob Beck, and we're discussing the final consensus report regarding government consolidation. All right, so that's the big recommendation, but there are 49 others that are contained in this report, and much of them concern sharing services in order to save money and achieve other goals. And Howie, you talked about some of those other goals that they might be aiming for there. But Rob, among the 49 recommendations, are there any from your perspective that you think are worth pursuing?
I would have to say that, as Howie said, the land use is important. We have multiple towns doing multiple things. There is an issue in government right now with a certain demographic being in charge of many departments in many towns, and there are very few new faces in government. And I think that by combining some of these functions, you may be able to attract newer, brighter minds that can replace the people that already exist. One of the attractions of a larger organization is, in theory, more opportunity to ply your specific trade or profession, more opportunity to be mobile within those professions. And I think one of the things that hurts local government especially is that they don't bring in the best and brightest people they can find in general. You have civil service regulations. You have towns that, and villages and cities that will only hire people that live within their boundaries. They don't operate like a business, and that is bring in the best people you can find.
As long as it doesn't get too big, though, to go back to your original point.
See, this is, as Howie said, there is a sweet spot, as you say, between too big and what functions belong in a larger government and just right and what functions belong in smaller governments so people have local access to solve some of their most immediate problems. So this is a very fluid process. Consensus report, they did an awful lot of work. The CGR people out of Rochester that wrote it did an awful lot of research. It's a lot of research that you and I can also pull off the internet. What it concludes is that maybe we need some change. Change is a great discussion, and that's really where we need to go. I understand having to put a specific path out there in order to have a dialogue, and I think it's a good starting point to make that dialogue happen.
Howie, were there anything among those 49 other recommendations that really leapt out to you other than what you've already described as things that we ought to be pursuing?
We looked at all of them, you know, in the Green Party and, you know, went through them one by one, and every one seemed worth pursuing. But we would just caution that it should be experimental. There's studies out of Cornell, both the rural studies and the city and regional planning department, that show shared services often saves money. When you consolidate and merge governments, it usually doesn't. And part of the reason is you need more professionals to administer a larger organization, so you got to pay more for your staff. Mm. Now, you may want to do that because you get the strongest argument in the consensus report is not the savings. It's better services and infrastructure. So we say let's start, and the report points this out, you can do intermunicipal agreements to move on any one of those 49 recommendations. We should start doing some of those. But not with the idea that we found the answer, but the idea, let's try it. I know in Buffalo, they had a Buffalo Financial Stability Board, and they tried to merge the Parks and Rec of the city into the county. And then they found the services were really reduced in the city. It was costing more. They saved some money on one end, but they lost a lot of public employees. That was another issue. So then they thought about deconsolidation. I'm not sure where that came out, but that's a case where they thought they were going to get results, and they got some of them, but not all of them. So I think we need to pursue them, but, you know, with the idea that let's see if it works. And if it doesn't, then we can go back.
Rob, on the cost savings, it's not, again, and Howie just underlined this point, not necessarily the best way to think about what's being created here of value. But nonetheless, that is a piece of the report. You were very skeptical about those cost savings last time.
Yes.
Can you tell me if you're still as sure that piece is still the weak link here, that you're not going to see these cost savings? Tell me why.
There is a weak link. I think when I was here before, we talked about absorbing the cost of the school tax levy and the city tax levy by the county taxpayers, and the number would have been roughly $600 on a $100,000 home. With the school portion of it out of there, you're looking at less than $200 to absorb the tax levy of the city by county taxpayers, and that includes the city taxpayers. What you're not seeing is how the savings plays into that. So when you look at the county tax levy, which is about $141 million, and you look at the city tax levy, which is about $34, you've got about $175.5 million. They're talking about a $32.8 million savings, roughly 18%. But you have to remember, this tax bill that they're talking about these savings on is only the county portion of the tax bill. So on a $100,000 home, you're talking $529 on average for a county tax bill. An 18% savings on that is $81. So all these legislative gyrations, shall we say, to save $81.
And then the big chunk is the schools,
the
obviously.
The big chunk is the school. So on a $5,000 tax bill, or let's reiterate that, on a $3,700 total tax bill on your average $100,000 house, you're going to be saving $81.
You're listening to the Campbell Conversations on WRVO Public Media. I'm Grant Reher, and I'm talking with Rob Bick and Howie Hawkins. Rob is the assessor for the town of Clay, and Howie is a Green Party activist and a likely candidate for Syracuse City Mayor this fall. We're discussing their concerns over the final report of the Commission on Local Government Modernization, better known as Consensus. Well, Howie, I got a question about the politics of this, and this is where I think it really gets sticky. Who are the government officials, or let's take the individuals out of it, who are the elected what are the elected offices that might be most favored by the kind of change that the report is advocating, and which ones might be the most threatened by the kind of change the report's advocating?
Well, I guess the county legislators and the incumbent county executive. You would have an expanded county legislature elected by the same method, winner take all. So incumbents would have an advantage there. Every other elected official in the county, and so far it looks like this, is opposed to it. And you can say, well, that's because they want to keep their jobs. That may be, but I think they also reflect their constituents who want their local government for the things local government can do best, just by the fact that it's closer to people and they can get responses to pothole issues. So I think if this consensus group tries to push the metro structure they're proposing down our throats in a referendum the coming fall, it's going to be overwhelmingly resisted by both the city and the town voters.
That does seem to be a tight spot that this is in. It's getting, I mentioned this to Rob last week, that it's getting hit from both sides this way. Rob Simpson, that
yes.
is, not Rob.
Yes.
But,
yes.
And so, Rob Bick, how do you see that playing? I mean, what's the sense you're getting from outside the city? Is there not a lot of interest in this politically?
There's absolutely no interest in it politically outside the city. The notion that most of the suburban towns in Onondaga County are not fiscally solvent is a bit preposterous, and I'm not quite sure where it's come from. Most of them are very fiscally solvent. They don't need financial assistance. In the case of, say, the town of Clay, I'll use my office as an example. There is an organization called the International Association of Assessing Officers that recommends a certain staffing level, and this organization has membership in 22 countries, so it's not a local yokel organization. And they recommend 2,500 parcels per employee. My office has 5,500 parcels per employee. So when you look at the industry standards, we have half the staff that we should have to effectively do the job. What are you going to consolidate at that level? We're already operating at half staff. The taxpayers are already getting half the cost and all the benefit of an assessor's office. You wouldn't say that, of course, if I raise your assessment. But generally speaking, we already, and in many departments in Clay, operate the same way. We operate very close to the bone, and there is nowhere to consolidate. There is nowhere to cut. It's already been done over the years. There already is a significant amount of shared services. So from a municipal standpoint, we don't see a need. But once again, this is an opt-in thing for local government. And if you have the choice to opt in, you're not going to opt in. But then there's always the perceived penalty that if you don't opt in, you're going to lose some sort of financing or some sort of state aid. You can't constantly put a finger to the face of local government and say, if you don't do this, you're going to lose money. That's not cooperation and compromise. That's bully tactics. And that seems to be the direction we're going.
Howie, you want to jump in on this? Go ahead.
Yeah, Governor Cuomo was pushing this with the idea that if we consolidate, we can lower our property taxes. And as we talked about, the savings just aren't there. There are better reasons, better services, better infrastructure. And I would argue one issue we haven't talked about, if we consolidate schools and housing, we can desegregate. Huge problem in this town, most concentrated poverty of metro region, any metro region in the country. A lot of good reasons to have metro government. But the big problem with property taxes is 15% of our local taxes go to pay for state mandates. We're off the chart. The next highest state is New Hampshire, 4%. Most states are less than 1%. If the state restored the revenue sharing of 8% of state revenues we had in the 70s, it's less than 1% now and frozen. Multiply by 8 what every municipality gets by the state, and then you'll have the resources to have a full assessor's office in Clay. We can have youth programs in Syracuse and so forth. So I think what we need to consolidate is our intermunicipal lobbying to restore revenue sharing, and I think it can reach far beyond the Syracuse metro area. Upstate communities across upstate have this problem. And there was a letter in the Post Standard by both Republican and Democratic town supervisors citing the Pew Charitable Trust study that showed that we're paying far more for state mandates than any other state in the country. So let's all get together and get revenue sharing to solve our fiscal crisis. The consensus and consolidation's not the answer to the fiscal crisis. There are other reasons to consolidate or share services, but fiscal problem, the state needs to pay for its mandates.
So let me ask both of you this question and give me a one-number answer, if you could. Let's say this goes up for a referendum. Percentage chance it passes. Howie?
5%, and that's only because they have $25 million from Cuomo to push it.
Rob?
I'd say maybe 10% because—
You're the optimist.
The optimist. Well, the general public does not often differentiate between a town tax, a county tax, and a school tax. They just say, I pay you people all these taxes without knowing where their money actually goes. And I think there would have to be a tremendous education process involved to show what you actually pay and what you actually to your local governments and what you actually need to save. Because as we've discussed before, the school portion is off the table. And statewide, that's a 62.4% total of your total tax bill. And when you're leaving the biggest elephant in the room completely unscathed, your chances of success for savings are extraordinarily limited.
If you just joined us, you're listening to the Campbell Conversations on WRVO Public Media. And my guests are Green Party activist Howie Hawkins and Town of Clay assessor Rob Beck. Well, let me ask two questions I want to make sure I put to you, and I want to do this first one quickly if we can and save most of the time for the second one. But Ryan McMahon, the chairman of the Onondaga legislature, county legislature, recently said that he wouldn't bring forward a referendum on this as per the plan of the report and per the request of the governor. So you've already handicapped this at being very low chance that it would pass. But what's the problem with letting the public vote, particularly if both of you are so sure that it's not going to pass? I mean, Howie, what's the problem with having a vote on it?
Well, I believe we need the right kind of metropolitan government. Let's get one that can pass. Let's keep the conversation going and talk about other models of, we suggest a federated model. I think that can allay the fears of both people in the city and the towns of losing their local government and their local powers.
So inferring from what you just said, I'm thinking that maybe then the argument is if you put something like this up, it goes down in flames, then we're done having the conversation and we're not moving forward.
It will discourage further conversation, right?
So let me pivot off that then, and this is my final question to each of you, and we've got about 3 or 4 minutes left. Howie, start with you. You've already talked a little bit about this, but at the conclusion of my conversation last week with Rob Simpson, he challenged critics of the report and this idea of a new metropolitan form of government to come up with a better alternative. So just give us your vision of a better alternative, and then, Rob, I know you've got one you want to share too. So, Howie, quickly, what's the better alternative?
Federate the towns, create neighborhood governments in the city that are close to the people like the towns are, and federate them at the county level in a legislature that is proportionally represented. That's a pretty detailed model. We've laid it out in a 1,500-page word statement. It's on the Green Party website. It's also on Urban CMY's website. So we answered his criticism. We got an alternative proposal to discuss.
Rob, what's your vision?
Alternative proposal. Forget about local government. Go after the big elephant in the room. Go after the schools. Don't hurt the schools. Find a different way to fund them. You do that by raising the state sales tax to 9%. If you raise the state sales tax to 9%, you will have a larger pool of contributors. You will do away with every school tax bill on every property outside of New York City. I've done the math. It's in an article I wrote. 9%. You and I would pay a little bit more in sales tax, but we would save thousands and thousands of dollars in school tax. It would no longer exist. You want to talk about economic development? Put $3,000 in Grant's pocket and see what he does with it. That's how you solve the problem. You expand the pool of contributors and lessen the contribution from the people who own properties. They put additions on. They add staff. You get more commercial development. All types of good things would happen. But you have to have the political will to say to the schools, we can no longer fund you this way anymore. We are going to change it. Every source of revenue fluctuates. Deal with it.
So let me just make sure I understand how much of an increase you're talking about. So you're talking about a net increase of 1% in my sales tax?
I'm talking about a net increase. Right now, the state sales tax is 4%. The county is 3%.
Okay.
You're increasing to 9%. Then you'd have a total of 12% sales tax.
Okay.
But you'd have to spend hundreds of thousands of dollars to spend the type of money on sales tax that you would save if you owned a $200,000 house. You're paying $5,000 in school taxes. It takes an awful lot of expenditure to generate $5,000 in sales tax. So,
on the fly, Howie, how does the Green Party candidate react to that?
Well, we've long called for having the state fund the schools. We would just say with a progressive income tax, a more progressive income tax. Sales tax is broad-based, but it's the most regressive tax that impacts everybody. So, and I agree with the concept, just we need a more progressive tax.
What about, in just a couple seconds left here, the idea of having a countywide school system? I think that's one of the things that really sends the shivers down the spine of a lot of folks living outside the city. I have heard this anyway from suburban residents. Is that a non-starter here in this conversation for this particular issue?
We have to start talking about it because we're not going to solve the problem of underperforming schools where you have concentrated poverty. The research since Brown v. Board of Education and then the Coleman study that has been replicated for 50 years, that the best predictor of school achievement is not resources or anything else. It's the socioeconomic status of the families in those schools. So you've got to break up the class segregation, which overlaps with race segregation. It's not just about people of color in the city versus white people in the suburbs. Look at the town of Pompey. It was just written up in the paper. The northern side is in the Janesville, DeWitt, and Fayetteville-Manlius school districts, and those homes are $100,000 homes. The other side of town's average income there, and the school districts perform very differently. So you got segregation in the rural areas, too, by class.
We'll have to leave it there. That was Rob Bick and Howie Hawkins. Note that you can hear my interview with Consensus Report proponent Rob Simpson on WRVO.org, and you can find the Consensus Report at consensuscny.com. Rob, Howie, thanks for taking the time to talk with me.
Thank you very much.
You've been listening to the Campbell Conversations on WRVO, Conversations in the Public Interest.
The Campbell Conversations, Conversations in the Public Interest, was hosted and produced by Grant Reher, engineered by Tom Fazio, and edited by Jason Smith. The Campbell Conversations is a joint production of the Campbell Public Affairs Institute at Syracuse University and WRVO Public Media. To learn more about the program or to hear previous interviews, visit wrvo.org/Campbell Conversations.